Gyanatimarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karuti Vachalam Pango Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamahang Bande Sri Gurun Dinatarinam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatang Vitang Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitangscha Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya Himava Divyachavi Sundaraya Tasmai Maha Prema Rasa Pradaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Yes.
Okay. No, Maharaj. We have a question from our viewers. So, very short question, Maharaj. What constitute and define genuine service?
It must be coming down from up to down, we're told actually that all service is being transmitted through Srimati Radharani. She knows best how to serve Krishna. So for it to be genuine and real, it has to be descending from that plane. It cannot be something that we've conceived and are imposing on the higher, no matter how, apparently noble the intentions. Srila Guru Maharaj says that to impose our preference or what we conceive, to impose that on divinity, it's not devotion, it's karma kanda. Krishnanushilana, what is favorable to the culture of Krishna consciousness, does not mean what I like doing within the parameters of Krishna consciousness. It means what is been deemed by the hierarchy of servitors to be needed, to be as a necessity. So there's a hierarchy of servitors, the supreme servitor being Srimati Radharani herself, and genuine services descending down through this hierarchy of servitors into this plane. Srila Guru Maharaj mentioned his godbrother, Professor Sanyal, saying once that if I go to read the Bhagavatam on my own, if I go to read the Bhagavatam under the order of Guru and Vaishnav, it may be devotion. If I go to read the Bhagavatam on my own, it may be karma kanda, or it may even be vikarma. So we also find in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu that once, what was his name, Bhagavatacharya, one devotee had written something that perhaps Bhagavatacharya, some others, they thought was very nice, and they wanted to present it to Mahaprabhu. But the system is that before something will reach the ear of Mahaprabhu, it must first go to Swarup Damodar. Right? That's always the system. It's not just this is a particular story. That is the way. Always and forever. Right? We're talking about something that's very fine, the most fine, the most refined, subtle substance requires an expert assessment. And this is even within the group of Mahaprabhu's servitors, so that makes it even more noteworthy. Within that group, some are saying, oh, this is very nice what this devotee has written. We'd like to present it to Mahaprabhu. But first they have to go to Swarup Damodar. Mahaprabhu Dutiya Kalevar. Mahaprabhu's second self. Mahaprabhu the second. His position is supreme over all others, with the exception Gadadhar Pandit is unique in his own category. So, but Swarup Damodar is Mahaprabhu's secretary. So they read this, they submit it to Swarup Damodar, and it's supposed to be some praise of Jagannath and Mahaprabhu. The unmoving Brahma, the moving Brahma, as he's a Murti, but anyway, that's the gist. And Swarup Damodar becomes enraged and saying, not only have you failed to properly glorify Jagannath and Mahaprabhu, but you've insulted both of them. And this apparent attempt, this noble attempt on your part to glorify Jagannath and Mahaprabhu, you've committed offense against both. Who knows what sort of hell awaits you for that? He didn't say, oh, this is a nothing matter, don't mind it. He's saying, who knows what hell awaits you? So, you think, wait, it's about Jagannath, it's in Sanskrit, right? It's in Sanskrit and written and, you know, very beautiful words glorifying Jagannath and Mahaprabhu. But Swarup Damodar, parsing the verse, dissecting it, shows what the flaws, the faults are. However noble the intention, inadvertently aparad. And what is that saying? Famous saying, the royal road to hell is paved with good intentions. That's not enough. But Swarup Damodar is a super servitor. And that's why there's that saying, the devotee saying, hard as a thunderbolt, soft as a rose. So first response, hard as a thunderbolt, crushing. That man is on the verge of suicide, saying, oh my God, what have I done? Right. But Swarup Damodar, being super servitor, supremely merciful and unparalleled in qualifications, takes what was given and reinterprets it in a way that is acceptable to save the day, save face for that man, to be kind to him, to be merciful to him. So why does something have to go to Srupdhamadhar first? So that it will not, if it reaches the ear of Mahaprabhu and it is upasiddhantic, meaning not properly conclusive or not properly expressing ontology, rasa, tattva, so many other things, that it will not only disturb Mahaprabhu, but we're told, make him angry. I just remember arriving in Calcutta, interacting with Bengalis, and if you became upset in some situation, someone would go, sadhu does not become angry. Sadhu does not become angry. But they can become angry because I am not sadhu. But your sadhu cannot become angry. Ban Maharaj took Babaji briefly. And they can never show ego or any kind of self-assertion, whatever. And Guru Maharaj said, the rickshaw wallahs were driving him crazy. So he left it. He left Babaji and then went down a rung so he could argue again. So what to speak of, sadhu doesn't become angry. So how, Mahaprabhu, why does it say that if upasiddhanta reaches his ear, he will become angry? I thought Rupa Goswami said, Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratashay Nama. There's no more magnanimous incarnation than Sri Chaitanya Dev. He's come to mercifully bestow Krishna Prema upon anyone, everyone, even the most qualified. Right? His teaching in Shikshastakam, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tororapi Sahishnuna, Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. And as a sidebar, it's commonly expressed by those of Judeo-Christian leaning or preference, they'll say, like, and it'll be invoked very often. They say, after all, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And everyone's going, oh, yeah. But actually, that is not Mahaprabhu's teaching. He's saying, do unto others. They may not do unto you the same. Amani na manadena means you be humble, respect others, be tolerant. Even if they disrespect you, find you intolerable and they're arrogant, intolerant, and disrespectful, you still be humble, tolerant, and respectful. So it's not do unto others as you would have them do unto you. No, do unto others, respect them, and if they disrespect you, you still respect them. So his teachings are superior. But that said, the person who expressed this, who personifies the teaching, we're told, if he hears upasiddhanta, he will become not only upset, but angry. So Srila Guru Maharaj said, upasiddhanta strikes the spinal cord of the proper thinking man. It's intolerable. See, what is on a lower level, just like children, little children, they do so many things. everyone's tolerating it, the parents are ignoring it as far as they can. But as someone gets older, grows up, achieves maturity, then the same thing is not acceptable. And also, there are new criteria for what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. So in this context, these are the circle and inner circle of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that something like this can go through, cannot be. So it shows how fine these things are. And the higher up it goes, the greater the stakes, the greater the offense. That's why repeatedly Srila Guru Maharaj, Srila Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, they're telling us not to try, don't deal with higher things. High voltage. Whenever you see something that is high voltage, there's a sign with like a lightning bolt, and maybe it's in red or orange letters telling you, be super cautious. There's some above, not only above average, you know, infinitely amplified magnitude of current going through here. So, and what does that mean? That the average person should not meddle there. And only the expert can come in and deal with that. Right? That we understand when it comes to electricity. That's why we have Jyoti Sundar. Some things, different, they can do a little thing here and there. But if it comes to something really serious, Hare Krishna, Jyoti, we know only he can do that. He's the expert. We won't meddle there. Why? We're likely to become damaged, injured. Electrocuted. It's like that. You try and handle this higher current, you're going to get electrocuted. So if just the current running through these wires and at the mains and things like that in this world requires such caution, right, and can only be handled by an expert, then what to speak of the supreme spiritual substance, that current? We like to talk about Rupa Nuga Dhara, that current. That is something that was indicated by Srila Saraswati Thakur with regard to Srila Guru Maharaj. He recognized in him the ability to handle that current and do act as a conduit to keep that current flowing requires, you know, supreme spiritual expertise. So when and that shall be the devotee as taught by the Lord himself. And it will contradict the stereotype. As when Pradyumna Misra approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, I would like to hear Krishna Katha from you. And what did Mahaprabhu say? Ami Krishna Katha Bolina, Janina. I don't know, Krishna. Think about that. We say, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radhe Krishna Nahi Anya. Radha Krishna Nahyanya. Sri Radha, Radha Bhava Dyuti Subbalita Nomi Krishna Swarupam. What kind of play is this? For Krishna enveloped in the heart and halo of Srimati Radharani to say, I don't know Krishna Katha. I'm not qualified to speak about that. If he says that, how shall we conceive ourselves? But I know who the qualified person is, and that is Ramananda Roy. I heard from Ramananda on the banks of the Godavari about, you know, Krishna Tattva, Radha Tattva, Rasa Tattva, Prema Tattva, Leela Tattva, all these things I heard from Ramananda. He's the qualified person. So the sannyasi, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is sending Pradyumna Misra to the Grihastha Ramananda to hear Krishna Katha. And upon his arrival at the place of Ramananda, he's told by his attendant or secretary that, like, right now he's busily engaged. There are some Devdasis from Jagannath Mandir. These are girls who, from their childhood, they're dedicated to the seva of the deity. They sing and dance for Jagannath. This has been practice been discontinued at present due to lack of qualified. Good, they discontinued. But they would sing and dance and enact through gestures and mudras and different types of dancing, the Gita Govinda of Jayadev Goswami, which is favorite to Mahaprabhu, but a tradition of it being performed for the pleasure of Jagannath. And those girls were the Devdasis. Dev means like the Lord, right? So the tenant telling, oh, he has one play, the Jagannath Balava Natak, and he's training these girls how they will gesture and express what is given there, how it should be done. And he's also their coach, training them, caring for them. We're told something, he's massaging their bodies, their entire bodies. So Pradyumna Misra is like, all right, well, just give my dandavats, you know. And he left. And then he went to see Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu said, oh, did you hear Krishna Katha from Ramananda? And Pradyumna Misra said, he was busy, you know. And Mahaprabhu said, oh, I see. He said, you know, if I see the wooden form of a woman, like a statue, it can agitate my mind. Or if I hear a feminine name, we're told they should end in long vowels and be pleasing to the ear. See, that can cause a reaction in me. He said, but Ramananda, he has an aprakrita deho. Like, he appears like a human being, but actually he doesn't have a mundane body. And actually, there isn't a remote trace of male gaze or exploiting tendency within him. And then he says, Ek Ram, there's one Ramananda. There aren't two, there aren't many, there's one Ramananda, one of such qualifications. That's why I heard from him. Guru Maharaj says, we can take it that he was his Ragamarg Diksha Guru. So now with this recommendation from Mahaprabhu, and isn't it interesting? It's similar to, in this instance, to Sukadeva Goswami. Right? We told the Dibya Devis are bathing naked. He passes by. They don't bother to clothe themselves. No male gaze in the eye. Not even a remote trace of exploiting tendency. He's the speaker of, you know, Vikriditam Brajabadu Viridam Chabishnu Sradhan Vito Anushranaya Atavarnayedyak Bhakti Param Bhagavati Pratilabdhikamam Ridroga Mashuapi Hinuti Achirena Dhira. He's undisturbed. Shiva's Dhira. He's undisturbed. So Sukadev, that's his qualification for broadcasting Madhura Rasa. Here, Ramananda, Mahaprabhu is hearing about Madhura Rasa from him, the sannyasi Sri Chaitanya Dev from the Grihastha Ramananda. Therefore, kiba vipra kiba nyasi shudra kene noi Jai Krishna Tattva Vetag Se Guru Hoy. That's why that verse is given like that. Vipra, Kiba Nyasi, Shudra. Can be taken as a Shudra, even in this context. Jai Krishna Tattva Veta. But who knows Krishna Tattva? Se Guru Hoy. There's Guru. So now with this endorsement from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Pradyumna Mitra returns and then meets Ramananda, and Ramananda says, oh, forgive me, Prabhu, but the last time you came, I couldn't properly receive you. I had some engagement. How can I serve you? And Pradyumna Mitra said, I would like to hear what you expressed to Sri Chaitanya Dev on the banks of the Godavari. And we're told, then in the day, Ramananda began, because he said, what sort of Krishna Katha you'd like to hear? That, what you told Mahaprabhu. And he begins, and we're told, at times madly, expressing Krishna Katha from the morning to the noon to the afternoon and to the late afternoon and to the evening without stopping. And Pradyumna Mishra leaves totally satisfied because he heard Sradhan Vato Anushranaya Datta Barnaya Dyak from the right person, the qualified person. So it was spiritually substantial, was descending from that plane into this plane. From the highest source. So, what did Sanatana Goswami Prabhu say? Putam harikatam ritam sravanam naiva kartavyam sarput chistam yatapayo. What's the first line? Avaishnava mukod girnam putam harikatam ritam sravanam naiva kartavyam sarput chistam yatapayo. So often we say in the Gopi Gita, they're saying, Tavakatamritam Taptaja, talking about you, this is Amrita, life-saving nectar. The whole world, those who give this to the world are the real humanitarians, altruists. And here Sanatana Goswami Prabhu, the Sambandhagana Charja, saying, but if someone is Avaishnava, not a real, genuine, proper Vaishnava, don't hear Harikatha from them. Once this girl in Calcutta asked me, said, can you explain the Rasa Leela? And I said, no, we're forbidden from such discussions. He said, oh, a man on the bus explained it to me. I said, I'm sure he did. A Vaishnava Mukha. And what does he say? Although it's hard, we could say, no, Harikatha is that life-giving nectar. He's saying, no, it's like milk contaminated by a cobra. What an example. That person who has the external trimmings of a so-called Vaishnava is a cobra, poisoning that substance. And I thought, or I was surprised a few months back, within the last 6 months here, there was a story online that in Nepal or somewhere, a lady, how is it, that her baby got poisoned because of feeding some poisoned milk, like from a cobra had bitten the cow, etc. So it actually happened. So that same substance now was poisonous, right? Putana. What is the first serious obstacle on the path for the aspiring servitor? False guru. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Chaitanya Shikshamritam equates Putana to the false guru. In the guise of being laden with nectarine substance, is murderous intent, poisoning the baby. Right? That's his interpretation of the Putana pastime. So how critical it is whom we hear from and under whose direction we proceed. Dashayate mama namostu namostu satyam sakayate mama rasastu rasastu. No, mama namostu namostu nityam dashayate mama rasastu rasastu satyam. Das Goswami saying, my focus is on the least aspect of servitorship under the guidance of the superior servitors. what would be my interest in the higher plane if not out of service necessity under the guidance of a superior servitor? And also two examples come to my mind, that one from Prabhupada, one from Guru Maharaj. Prabhupada saying that, you know, if the guru asks for water, a glass of water, and the disciple goes to get the water and saying, well, actually, milk is better than water. And hot milk is very nice. And hot milk with like a little, what is it, masala, some cardamom, some nutmeg, or different things, pistachio, saffron, that's really nice. And then comes that, hands that to them. He said, no, I asked you for a glass of water. So he used to call that being overly intelligent, like being intelligent to the point of your detriment. About one of his servitors, he said why he was the best is because he had no imagination. But Guru Maharaj gave that same example, but in a different way to show. And again, we're reminded, Guru Maharaj says, if you think you've got a lock on what Krishna consciousness is, Krishna is going to humiliate you by showing you it's not that way. It always happens. So that's to keep us in a state of humility and dependence upon the higher for what comes down from that plane to us. So Guru Maharaj is giving a similar example. He said, the guru asks for water, and it's like an Indian example. So, you know, there's some tank, a pond, because you go there, and you see that water is not fit for drinking. He said, but you see a man on the road, he's selling pure water. He said, so you buy the pure water, bring that to Guru. He said, so in this example, it seems as though you're apparently ignoring Guru or Vagya. You're going against what the Guru said. He said, go there and get that water. But you see, oh, this isn't fit for him. Oh, but this is. That's also possible, right? We want to serve. We want to do the desired service. But we should not delude ourselves into thinking, you know, that we can impose our whims upon the higher and call that service. You have to be honest, candid about that. Really, it's something we have to think about continuously. And as I said, that Guru Maharaj is describing Ramananda as Mahaprabhu's Ragamarg Diksha Guru. I'd like to say a few words about Shyamananda Prabhu and also Bhangshivadananda Thakur, their appearance day. We're also told Balaram's Rasyatra. Balaram has Rasalila with gopis. Bishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says they're different gopis than the ones who have Rasalila with Krishna. And Guru Maharaj says, Sanatana Goswami Prabhu says, and inconceivable as this sound, he says that, and Baladev is offering this as service to Krishna from his heart. Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arsabhritya. Baladev can have Rasa Leela as service to Krishna. So, but then Bhangshivadananda Thakur, we're told, in Krishna Leela, he's Krishna's flute, right? Mentioned in the Brahma Sangita, Katha Ganam Natya Gamanam, What is it? Priya Bhangshi Sakhi, how dear his flute is always with him. Chandravali Rupa Goswami has the verse Sakhi Murali Chidralena Jalena Purna Nirasasi. Chandravali, she's saying, she's expressing envy, but it's actually indirectly praise of the flute. She's saying, this is outrageous. This piece of dry wood, nirasa, has no rasa, that means dry. It can mean different things, that's one meaning. A dry piece of bamboo, he said, is the recipient of all the nectar streaming from the lips of Krishna, which is meant for Braja Gopis, but this flute, who is a male, is intervening and capturing all this nectar from Krishna. This isn't right, it's not fair. And she's saying, and what is it? The flute has knots on it, right? Go a little one, another one. And that in Sanskrit, it can mean knot or faults, or and holes. So she's pointing out, so full of, you know, flaws, male, dry, and somehow intervening, intercepting all this divine nectar streaming from the lips of Krishna, it's not fair. So it's Rupa Goswami's sloka from the lips of Chandravali, Srimati Radharani's top competitor. And elsewhere it's mentioned that the bamboo that grows on the side of the Jamuna, how proud they are of their son, the flute. Like, you know, he made good, he grew up, he became Krishna's flute, you know, he got a good job. They're, you know, they want everyone to know that he's their relative. And they also, on the banks of the Jamuna, where all these divine pastimes are going on in those supremely premic waters, they're being nourished with divine substance. How wonderful is that domain that Bhaktivedanta Thakur in Mahaprabhu's pastimes, and I believe he did the seva Vishnu Priya's at Mahaprabhu Bari, Vishnu Priya Bari near Navadvip, where the Mahaprabhu deity is. He maintained that seva and service of the deity. But then comes the case of Shyamananda Prabhu, to again underscore that if we think things are necessarily one way, with the infinite, there are infinite possibilities. So he was initiated, I mean, Saranga Murari, into Sakya Rasa. And this is not extant today, due to lack of qualification on both sides, guru and disciple. But Raga Marga Diksha is a thing, a real thing, and it's not a fantasy or wishful thinking, it's reality. Like we mentioned, Guru Maharaj Srila Saraswati Thakur, Ruchi Pariksha, examining the ruchi of his disciples. That means they're going in a particular direction. and you say, Muktir Hitbanyata Rupam Swarupena Vivastiti Jive Swarupoi Krishnara Nityadas. Their eternal position will gradually be expressed and manifest. So the spiritual experts, they can read that and identify that. This is not guesswork or like an option. So identifying him as a Sakyarasa devotee, he was initiated into Sakyarasa. Then, while in Vrindavan, he's going a particular place, and he finds in the sands of Vrindavan this beautiful Nupur, and a bangle. And it's so extraordinary that he, you know, wraps it up in his cloth, he's keeping that. And then he sees one divine-looking lady frantically searching the area. And he inquires her, and she said, "Oh, my mistress was here last evening, and she lost a bangle, and I'm searching for that." And he opened his cloth and showed the bangle. He said, "Is this that?" And she said, "Yes, that's it. Thank you so much." And took the bangle and then pressed it on his forehead. And he became imbued with Madhura Rasa sentiments. And it also left the imprint of a tilak marking. So then he went to his Gurudev and the group of disciples there, and they saw that this is not the tilak that they normally wear. So you imagine someone shows up with some different tilak, the devotees are gonna talk, you know, bring it to the attention of the guru. He's saying, "What is this? What are you doing?" And remove that tilak, efface that tilak. And the Shyamananda, he said, "If you can, do." And the devotees try to remove it, and they can't remove it. It's permanent. Shyamananda takes shelter of Srila Jiva Goswami, explains the situation. The Sakyarasa Guru calls Jiva Goswami for an explanation. Jiva Goswami declines, but in the upper world, because of his position there, Sri Rupa, the leader of the juniors, and Rupa Rati, etc., but their next higher, as we thought, Sri Rupa, Lalita Sakhi, the leader of the highest rung of cowherd boys, is Subal. So, Lalita Sakhi, Radharani, Lalita Sakhi, Radharani, they approach Subal and say, "Radharani," she said, "I'm taking this one for my group," or Lalita Sakhi, yeah. So, in other words, a cowherd boy saying, "I'm taking him for my group. And then he will be Brajagopi." So then and it's worked out in that plane. Subal gives some inspiration to the guru, and everything is worked out. But we think, how is this possible? Sometimes Guru said, even the expert failed to detect. So is it that he is eternally that? And like Gopa Kumar, going through different levels and really here? Or was eternally one way and then became eternally another way? That Krishna knows. It's not for us to, you know, our minds will, our brains will explode. But at least then we can understand anything is possible in that domain. This is, we will consider it rare, but Guru Maharaj, he could also say that someone even more expert may have been able to detect that ultimate preference or tendency. So, and his disciple was Rasikananda Prabhu. And you see near our Seva Kunja Mott, just around the corner, is the place commemorating the Nupur revelation of Shyamananda Prabhu, and adjacent to that is the Radha Shyama Sundar temple and Rasikananda from Bhajan Kutiran. Sometimes they would put a banner in the street. You know, in Vrindavan, there's also some competitiveness. And they used to have this banner that said, you know, come and, you know, have the darshan of Sri Radha Shyama Sundar. And it said, the only deity to manifest from the heart of Srimati Radharani. Hare Krishna. I thought, that's kind of hard to top. But it reminds me of Guru Dev saying that because his father was a Sahaja singer, he knew all these songs, and when he came to the Mat, Guru Maharaj told him to shelve those songs and ticked off 30 songs of Bhaktivinoda, learn these. He learned them in a week. But sometimes Guru Maharaj was in a particular mood and he would say, like, sing that one song. And this one he liked had the line, Tunga Mani Mandire. And he said that was the song that was guaranteed to put Guru Maharaj in a good mood. Because sometimes Gurudev had to go to Calcutta. They'd finally get Guru Maharaj to accept this. He'd be going, you go this way. But then Guru Maharaj would get Hari Charan Prabhu and send him on the shortcut to the Gauranga Setu Bridge. He'd be waiting there. Govinda Maharaj coming in the car, Hari Charan Prabhu there. They'd have to stop and go back. So if Srila Govinda Maharaj knew he needed to leave Guru Maharaj, put him in a very good mood so that he could slip out for service necessity duties in Calcutta, he would sing this song with a Tunga Mani Mandire. So on his last visit to Navadeep Dham, we were there on the veranda, and somehow it came up again. I remember that because one point Gurudev is like going like this. And I said, Maharaj, what are you doing? He said, and he was singing something. He said, Yashoda Mayi is doing arati to the beautiful lotus face of Krishna. Oh. That's a beautiful thought. Saying Yashoda Mayi, she, imagine Mother Yashoda doing arati to the lotus face of Krishna. But then somehow Tunga Mani Mandire came up. And I said, Maharaj, what does that mean? He said that, like on a high hill, that the, like in Barshana, he's on a hill, on a high hill, the, like Mandir, but in this kind, the heart, he said, the heart of Srimati Radharani is like a lighthouse of Krishna Prem. Bargo Bhai Vrishabhanu Jatma Bibhabhai Karadana Sri Puram. It's consistent with Srila Guru Maharaj's Gayatri explanation. Bargo Bhai Vrishabhanu Jatma Bibhabhai Karadana Sri Puram. That from her, like he said, faith is the halo of Radharani. She's illuminating the whole spiritual world. It's not light like this. It's not the illumination of gyan, of knowledge, but heart. Her heart is like a lighthouse of Krishna prema. How wonderful is that? So, Srila Guru Maharaj says, we should take Radharani's suggestion. That is real service. What she says, and that comes down to the hierarchy of servitors in this world, we want to be fully attentive to that. Does anyone have a better idea? I don't think so. Still, she wants to transfer to her associates and attendants. So the devotees, they're yena tena prakarena manakrishna nivesha. What they're really doing, they're not manufacturing some new kind of service, but they are searching for the ways, means, you know, the opportunities, the adjustments that need to be made to bring people in the environment in connection with Krishna consciousness and that plane of service. So we take some risk to do that. Right? Pujala Raghapat Gaurava Bange Matala Sarujana Vishayarange. Guru Maharaj said the Vishayarange means bait. I use some bait to catch the fish. So sometimes we see some bait is employed. That's not the substantial thing, but to bring someone in connection with Krishna consciousness. But all these things have to be very carefully considered. And we always and eternally want to be, you know, sheltered, safely sheltered at the lotus feet of Sri Guru, and take the guidance of Guru and Vaishnav. Vaishnavi pratista tadikorunishta. That's what our concern is. The opinions of substantial Guru and Vaishnav, do they approve? Once, you know, there's a famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita that says, Trayate mahato bayat. How does it begin? Anyway, it ends on alpam, swalpam, means a little. Swapam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. A little bit of connection with this, with the substantial Vaishnava, substantial Krishna consciousness, protects one from mahabhaya, the greatest type of fear. So sometimes Srila Prabhupada would say that means like descending into the lower species, you know. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj, he once wrote me, and he said, and I thought, wow, this is a different sort of interpretation. He said, the greatest fear of a devotee is that their service is not being accepted. That's what their concern is. so many other things we can say, express, think about from time to time. He said, but the greatest fear of a genuine devotee is their service is not being accepted. That they want to know. Just like Gurudev would say about Yudhamanya Prabhu, and say, do you want this or not? If you want this, then I'm prepared to dedicate all my energy to realizing that. If you don't want it, I've already forgotten it. Gurudev liked that so much. That was his concern. Whatever he might have been thinking, do you want this or not? If you don't want it, then I've already forgotten it. When Srila Gurudev came back from the hospital in Soquel, and he was feeling very depressed and in this very difficult, convalescent stage after this major surgery and everything that goes with it. And he thought that maybe he would leave the world. And he was talking about a will and expressing his different desires for different things, and it was very serious, and the mood was grave. And then someone came in, and all the devotees are sitting there, and frightened, and with uncertainty. And then someone came in and approached Srila Gurudev for initiation. And then his whole demeanor changed. He started, and he said, they still want service from me, meaning the upper world. That meant everything to him. He thought, oh, there's no more service for me here. Not, I'm going to die and leave. He said, oh, it appears there's no more service here. But when this person came forward for initiation, he said, they still want service from me. That made him very happy. That changed everything. Then there were like snacks, and the atmosphere became very light. Then he was very happy. Right? Like Sixth Canto Chitraketu, Narayana Puraksarve, Nakutaschana Bibhyati, there's that word. Narayana Puraksarve, Nakutaschana Bibhyati. What is it? Narakesu Tulyarta Darshina, Narayana Puraksarvam, Nakutaschana Bibhyati. Svargam Sangha, Narakeshu, where Parvati, having cursed Chitraketu to go to hell, and he's saying, as you order, he takes that order on his head. Nakutashtanabit, Svargam up. Narakeshu Tulyarta Darshana. Shiva saying, just see the devotees of the Lord. He has no concern about going to heaven and whatever. His only concern is seva, service. That's his heaven. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, and even to the point that whatever apparent inconvenience might be, or we're encumbered with inconvenience and trying to fulfill service, he said, that's my happiness. It doesn't make me upset, disturbed, distraught, depressed. I'm happily taking that seva. As Madhavendra Puri, elderly, he's going to carry, 40 kilos of sandalwood. I don't know, 1,500 kilometers. Why does Krishna do these things? Why didn't he say, You could get, you know, a couple kilos of sandalwood sent from there to here. That would be good. And he says, I need you to go. There's only two people I trust to do this, and I'm busy. Like Tamal Krishna used to say. So go, you think, go for, you can't, like, even yogis do the prapti siddhi. He doesn't say that. Madhavendra Puri, they still want service from me. Happily, he's going 1,500 miles, walking. Right? To Ramuna, Puri, and to bring back. And then we see, and it's really to glorify him why Gopal did all these things. Because how glorious, it was enough. I mean, if the Gopal pastime would have been enough, I think. But by the Kirchor Gopinath, that really took it to another level. Stealing Kir. As the gopis tell Yashoda when they come to give their complaints. And remember, their complaints are in the form of song. They're singing the Kataganam Natigam. They're singing their complaints to Yashoda at Yashoda, Nanda Bhavan. And she's listening. So the complaints, if you can sing those complaints, you can become more than liberated. And they're complaining about Gopal stealing yogurt, butter in their house and all these things. And then Yashoda, as a solution, suggests that why don't you just leave something out on the table? You know, so then he comes over, he sees there's the yogurt on the table, little lamp next to it, you know, making it clear, or like even a note like, Gopal, this is for you. Hugs and kisses. And they say, no. It's not that. He said, apparently he enjoys stealing. He just doesn't want what's that. He likes to steal. He's a thief. By his very nature, he likes stolen things. He likes to steal. Chitta Hari Bhangshi Hari, he's, and that Navanita Choram sloka, right? That he, and I, my friend Bhakti Charushami, he used to say, we should make our hearts as soft as butter so that Krishna will want to steal them. But, so it's saying he, and for the Naga Babas, if you've ever seen one, you know they have nothing. I was on a train once in Calcutta and a couple of Naga Babas got on. And the train, he's coming along, tickets, tickets. And when he got to them, even though I have no experience in ticket collecting, but even I knew they didn't have tickets. And they just ride free. They figure you didn't take off all your clothes to ride free on the train. You know, so... Then they say, so for such people who have nothing, then what is there left to take? Chitta Hari. He steals their heart, their consciousness. Right? Gopi Janabhastra took the garments from the unmarried gopis. Navanita Chora, he's stealing the soft, he's stealing the butter. And from those Vairagi, Nagababa types stealing their heart consciousness and the hearts of the Brajagopis. What does it say in the Hangsadutta of Rupa Goswami, they go through the Das avatars. And perhaps with Matsya, they mention, they're criticizing each one in novel ways. And saying that, I think they use their hearts as bait, and Krishna ate the bait but didn't take the hook. So now they're left in a lamentable position. So I say, lamentation in Krishna consciousness is of infinite value. But our whole, from any approach that whether we say the service descending from the hierarchy of servitors, evam parampara praptam imam, you know, the disciplic succession, it all points in this one direction. And as Guru Maharaj once said, I'll just conclude with that, he said, like, I remember this, do you remember Kanchan Bala? Sridhasrava Prabhu and I used to, we thought she looked like a gopi. She, like, our imagining, what a gopi would look like. This very sweet disciple of Srila Prabhupada, one of his original disciples. She, when she joined, she heard, you should give the best thing to Guru, to Krishna, right? And she had this rock that was her favorite thing that she carried around. It's the only thing, like, she took from her mantra was this rock. Maybe it was Paul, I don't know, but like, you know, and it was like very dear to her and the best thing in her estimation that she had. And she offered it to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was so affectionate, you know, he accepted, it was offered with love, he accepted it with love. Right? But see, that's where you're coming from, the parameters of what you think is good or not good or, you know, on the basis of your sangskar or lack of it and karmic circumstance environment. But then we, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vaishnava, then we see in the scriptures and it'll say, these are the things that are offerable. Like we're told, these flowers and not those flowers. Like I like to remind people, it's the white flowers or the white ones with a little yellow, that have beautiful aroma. They're the flowers to be offered, actually, not other flowers. And in India, I mean, we're not hard and fast, but like in India, red flowers are for Shiva and Ma Kali and that kind of, you know. But we're not forbidding red roses or, you know. But anyway, so in the scriptures, then you start finding out, these are the, this is in the category of offerable things, and these things not. So now your serving capacity is being refined. Right? But then Guru Maharaj will say, how does it go higher and become more precise? By coming in connection with the Vaishnava. So every day we sing the Bhogarati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, Shukta Shakadi Bhaji Nalita Kuzmanda Dali Dalna Dugda Tumbi Dadi Mocha Ganta. These things Bhaktivinoda Thakur is indicating should be offered. It's not just like, oh, those are Bengali things, you know. This is divine. Forget what is Bengali or not Bengali. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, this is what's being cooked at Yashoda Bhavan by Yashodamayi and Radharani and offered to Krishna. And who is it? Dhanishta taking those remnants and giving them to Radharani. It's not Indian cooking or, you know, Bengali stuff. It's divine. It's his insight into the spiritual world. He's telling you what the menu is at Nanda Bhavan. So that kind of insight can only come from such a super servitor and, you know, direct participant and leela as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So then it should become obvious that we want to follow their suggestion, take their advice, be under the and under the guidance of their servitors, you know, Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayo Dasa Dasa Nudasa. That's the system. But it, you know, we have to be functional. You know, there's so many practical things we have to do. Srila Saraswati Thakur was of the opinion they are even, you know, cleaning the temple, cleaning the mat, purchasing is, in his estimation, Radha Dasyam. Right? He said, Guru Maharaj said, they were in Puri, and Srila Saraswati Thakur is speaking some very high things. And in the middle of that, he was interrupted on some domestic affairs of the mat, like they needed to go to the market, buy yogurt or vegetable or whatever. And he stopped and dealt with that. And Guru Maharaj said at the time, Guru Maharaj was upset. He thought, Prabhupada is speaking so wonderfully and so beautifully, and then they're bringing this trivial matter to him and interrupting that flow. And he said, then he came to understand that Srila Saraswati Thakur said, Srimati Radharani is the major domo of the domestic affairs of Krishna. She's in charge of all of that. So he considered this not an interruption, but Radha Dasyam, service to her holy lotus feet, to be involved in the marketing for the mat. Right. So it's also practical. But Guru Maharaj said, when Professor Sanyal, he was always a fanatic. Sometimes in a good way, and sometimes in a way that needed some modification or adjustment. So he said, once there, he won't do anything unless there's an order of the Vaishnava. So they're all at the train station, they're gonna catch the train and go to some other town for preaching. The train pulls in the station, all the, you know what it's like, you have to run, get on the train, you know. And they see Professor Sanyal standing on the platform because no Vaishnava had told him to get on the train. So someone said, Professor Babu, get on the train. Then he got on the train. So Guru Maharaj once said of him, he said, I think that kind of humility is dangerous. But it shows the principle. Like, he didn't want to move an inch unless it was clearly an order of the Vaishnava. That principle is there. So we want to know, our fear is that our service is not being accepted. We want to know we're working under the guidance of Guru and the representatives of Guru. Right. Then we can proceed with wholeheartedly and a happy heart, knowing that. Hare Krishna.